Good morning, and welcome to worship once again. I have to tell you, the captains have received a new appointment. That made you listen, didn't it? Eh? They have in fact received an additional appointment to Felixstowe, and they've been appointed as the intercultural mission officers attached to THQ. Now the good news is, it only involves one day a month. So we're going to let them go for that one day and month, but we will claim expenses from territorial headquarters. But congratulations to them, yes? It's a very important appointment, so I ask you in your prayers to uphold them in those prayers. Thank you very much. Now, I got into trouble 100 times from the friends together last week. I announced there was one, and there wasn't. But nobody turned up anyway. But I've got it right this time. There's no friends together this coming week. Following our worship this morning, tea and coffee will be served in the community hall with a little extra cakes to celebrate Eva. And for the band, there will be, if the weather holds, a short open-air witness on the triangle. Just to remind you that on September the 9th, it's the Ride and Stride that takes place. We need volunteers to be at the hall sometime between 9 and 5 to check the riders and the walkers in as they come. If you can help, there's a list on the notice board. Please just put your name against the time that you can do. And finally, I want you please to remember Dorothy Dowes in your prayers. Her husband David is very seriously ill in hospital, so your prayers would be appreciated. And now, who better to introduce our guest than the son here?
Mummy said to say something nice. I'll try my best. Good morning, everyone. It's good to welcome you here to the Salvation Army this morning for Eva's dedication under the leadership of Majors, retired Bram and Irene Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for that nice introduction. It really is exciting to be here at Felixstowe this Sunday morning. I suppose it's my first visit to Felixstowe on a Sunday. I did visit once before, way back, as a supporter for Enfield Band when they came to do a concert, I think, on a Saturday evening. I don't know if anyone remembers that. But it's good to be here this morning because you can sense the excitement that there is, an excitement about being here together as a family to witness an important event, the dedication of little Eva. That's what I want to underline, really, this morning, the fact that this is a family occasion. I suppose, I imagine, that quite a few of you come as families, perhaps as a couple, or as mum and dad with the kids, or perhaps grandparents with their grandkids, I don't know. But you come as a family. Sunday morning at the Army is a family occasion. That's especially so for the family of Paul and Lisette this morning, because we're here in number. Grandpa and Grandma Lingumbiadi are here. Nana and Wawad Williams are here. All the uncles and aunties, all the cousins are here, because we want to support Paul and Lisette as they make these very important promises in God's presence about little Eva. But of course, it's more than that, isn't it? This is a family occasion because we're part of God's family. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is a family occasion because as Christians, We're gathering in the presence of our Father God. We want to worship him. We want to praise him. And we want to receive the blessings that he wants to shower upon us this morning. I would invite you to stand as we sing our first song. The band did remind us of the tune a few moments ago. It's number 55 in the songbook, if you use the songbook. Otherwise, the words will appear on the screen. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. We'll stand to sing the first two verses together. Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well our feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Praise him widely as his mercy flows. We'll sing verses 3 and 4. Be seated. And let's pray together now to our Father God. Father God, we thank you that this morning we find ourselves in your house and amongst the people of your family. We thank you that this is possible because through your Son, through believing in him and trusting in him, we can be part of your family. And as we've sung, you want to look after us, tend us, and care for us as the best possible Father could. We come to you because we want to praise you just now. We want to address to you our prayers, but also our prayers, our praise, our thanksgiving for all your goodness to us over the past week. Please make us aware that you are here. Please make us sensitive to what you have to say to us. Give us the faith to believe in you and to trust you and to accept your teaching for us. We bring to you all those at this time attached to our core family who are in need of our prayers. Names have already been mentioned, but each one of us is aware of someone that we should bring just now to you, so that you could bless and help them. Most of all, Lord, just now we bring to you the family of Paul and Lisette, Martha, and especially Eva. And we pray that you'll be very close to them as this dedication ceremony takes place. help Paul and Lisette to keep the promises that they're going to make. Bless Eva, bless Martha, as they grow up to know and to love you. So be with us just now, for we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to listen straight away to the songsters, and they're going to bring to us that lovely song, "Your Grace Still Amazes Me."
Thank you very much, songsters. That was lovely. And thank you for the privilege of allowing me to sing. There is... Paul normally turns me off.
Shut up, mother.
But that was lovely, songsters. It really was. But there is a lesson to learn there. Never stand up to sing with a songster when you've never attended the practice. Attending practice is really important. You can't always wing it. So this is the first time, as Bram has already said, that we have been here at Felixstowe Salvation Army on a Sunday. We've been here during the week. We've popped into the hall. We had a guided tour. I think it was about a year ago that Paul and Lisette arrived here. So we've been to Felixstowe, we've been in the hall, but the first time that we've actually seen the Sunday congregation. But do you know, we know quite a bit about the core. We hear a lot about the core. Yes, Paul tells us a wee bit, Lisette tells us a wee bit, but the person who tells us the most about this core is Martha. Martha tells me that there's a man called Bill. Where's Bill? And Bill puts up the flag every Sunday morning. He keeps the old flag flying. And Martha has been allowed to help Bill put up the flag. So on a Sunday night, when I speak to Martha, I say, "Was the flag flying today?" And Martha always assures me that it is. I also know that within this congregation, there is a little girl. There's a girl called Felicity. Now, Felicity has caused me great trouble with Martha. Because Martha says to me, Martha's putting her fingers in her ears. Martha calls, now, I'm Martha's nana, right? Nana. When Anna, my first granddaughter, was born, I thought it was a great idea to have Anna and her nana. So that's how we came up with Nana. But Felicity recommends to Martha that she doesn't call me Nana, but she calls her Nanny. Because that's what you do here in Felixstowe, it's Nanny. So Martha, sometimes she drops Nanny, and I'll say, "No, it's Nana." And she says, "No, it's Felicity." Martha loves Sunday school. Martha, when I come to visit Martha says to me, "Nana, are you coming to Sunday school with me?" She loves Sunday school. There's somebody called Joe. Joe, you're doing a good job. Rosie. Martha absolutely loves Sunday school. And she tells me on a Sunday night, when she can remember, what she's learned at his Sunday school. So let's think about that again. In this core, my granddaughter is very happy. My granddaughter, Martha, feels at home in this core. She feels that she's part of this core family because Bill, now I hate to say this, is a bit older than Martha, but he has befriended Martha. Martha has got a friend who's similar age, hasn't she? And Martha has been taught about God and about God's love here. So this is an important place for my family. So I've been speaking for a few minutes, haven't I? And you're all thinking to yourself, "My goodness, that woman's got a funny accent." Are you thinking that? You think a wee bit over Scottish, do you think? Yeah. Now, when I grew up in Scotland, I didn't realise I had an accent. I thought everyone spoke the same. There's some other Scottish voices and faces here. And it wasn't until I went to the Salvation Army Training College many years ago that I discovered other accents. And I also discovered that not everyone could understand what I said, and not everyone was very kind about the way I spoke. Anyway, I was in Scotland recently. I went back to Govan Salvation Army a few weeks ago for some friends' retirement. While I was in Scotland, I had to lift some money. Of course, I went to the machine, put my card in, and I got... Noah, you might be listening to Nana. and it lifted some money. Now, I've got two notes with me. I've got a Scottish £10 note. It's actually quite similar, but a wee bit different. On the English note, you have got a picture of the Queen, and on the Scottish note, you've got a picture of Rabbi Burns. Not quite the same as the Queen. But if you look closely, it says £10. Both of them are worth the exact same. Both are legal tender. Both have the same value. We read in John 3:16, don't we, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God so loved each one of us. God so loves each one of us, whether we are Scottish, and I've always thought the Scots were better, but apparently, for God so loved the world, that God loves us all equally, whether we're Scottish or English, whether we're fat, whether we're thin, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're in good health or whether we are in bad health, whether we're tall or whether we're small, we have all got the same value to God. God loves us all equally. Now, sometime as we go through life, things happen that perhaps makes us feel not worthy, sometime makes us feel maybe even unclean, unworthy. You know, sometimes life comes along and it crumples us up and it makes us a bit creased and a wee bit not as neat or as clean as we once were. But you know, even although that £10 note is crumpled and not as nice as it first was when it was new, its value remains the same. It is still worth the same. And I just want to reassure each one of us this morning, whether we're big or whether we're small, whether we're old or whether we're young, that each one of us are valuable to God and each one of us is loved by God. We're going to sing, and Paul and I had a wee debate about this song, and Paul said, the song that I chose, he said it was too old-fashioned. That's what he said. So he's going to come and help us in a nice, upbeat song. Thank you, Paul.
And it's a song that's well known to many of us, but for those who need a bit of a reminder of the actions, that's why I'm here. You all know me as a bit of a mover, so that's why I'm here. Anyway, the song is Our God is a Great Big God. Here are the actions. Our God is a great big God. Thank you, Esme. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands, right? We'll repeat that several times. He's higher than the skyscraper, and he's deeper than the submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. And he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. And then we can clap along how wonderful it is to be a part of God's amazing plan. You know, I'm going to give you a word of warning. My mum is eagle-eyed, and she'll have no hesitation in singling you out if you fail to participate. So I've given you the instruction, I've given you the warning. Let's stand now and sing together.
God is a great big God.
Paul, he used to be a quiet wee boy. That was a long time. He was quiet and he hid behind his sister who was younger than him. Right, Noah, you've got to go down and sit beside Mummy. That's good. So I'm going to ask Paul and Lisette to bring Eva. Martha's already here. I'd like to ask the flag sergeant, the colour sergeant. I'm nervous, that's what it is. Out of practice. So you should be at my left hand side, and Martha as well. And is there anyone else that should be here? Should the cradle roll sergeant or anyone like that wipe it? No. So that we're all here. Eh? All present and collect. So, for some of us, we've came here today to witness the dedication of Eva. We've looked forward to this day, I would say, since she came into being, and perhaps even a wee bit before that. I'm going to ask Cedric Eva's uncle to come and to start our dedication service by reading to us some verses from the Bible, from Mark chapter 10.
Mark chapter 10, verses 13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the who would not receive the kingdom of God like a little child would never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Cedric. What lovely words. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And that's what we are doing today. We are asking the Lord to take Eva and to bless her. We've been through this dedication ceremony before. On the 13th of March, 22, with Martha. Martha was dedicated at Basildon. She was a lot smaller, but actually she should have been dedicated when she was smaller than that, but because of COVID, we had to keep postponing the date. And the day Martha was dedicated, she had chicken pox, so she wasn't very well, but we carried on regardless. But Martha is so important, as well as her mum and dad, in the dedication of Eva, because Eva copies everything that Martha does. And that's just going to get worse as she gets, but worse or better as she gets bigger. Martha, as I said, Martha was dedicated a year and a half ago, and Martha is trying her best to be a young Christian girl. Martha prays. Martha talks to her Heavenly Father, and she prays for her core family, and she prays for her family. So really, the dedication is not, it's not Eva making promises, it's Eva's parents making promises on her behalf. So this is what the dedication ceremony says. Would you like to come a wee bit closer to me? I'm feeling a wee bit. Right. In the dedication of Eva, Paul and Lisette, you desire to give her fully to God. You wish to thank God for entrusting this precious life into your hands. And you want her to be nurtured in all that is pure and lovely and honest. To this end, you promise that you will keep from her, so far as you are able, everything which is likely to harm her in body, mind, or spirit. You also promise that as she grows in wisdom and stature, you will teach her to seek Christ as Saviour and support her in her commitment to the service of God. You must be an example to her of a true Christian. If you are willing to make these promises, I will receive this child in the name of God and of the Salvation Army. In the name of the Lord, and on behalf of the Felixstowe Corps of the Salvation Army, I receive this child, Eva Elikia Williams, in recognition of the promises which have been made by her parents this day. I should have asked you all to stand. Will you stand, please? And I'm going to pray, and then Mary, Eva's other grandmother, is going to come and pray too. O God, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this precious gift for Eva. We thank you that she arrived in this world healthy and safe and absolutely gorgeous. And we would like to ask you, Heavenly Father, to put your hand on her young life, that you will bless her and that you will keep her from anything that could harm her in any way at all. I thank you for the lovely family that Eva has been born into. I thank you that Paul and Lisette are bringing their girls up lovely. They're taking care of them. They're giving them proper food. They're keeping them from anything that could harm them. And I just ask Heavenly Father that as their girls grow, and especially Eva today, we think especially of Eva, that you will help them to be the best parents that they can be. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we all have this morning of witnessing Eva's dedication. God bless Eva. God bless her family. And now Mary is going to come and offer a prayer too.
Let's pray together. Seigneur Papa, to pambolio lisusu na tongo yo poyo zanzambe malam. Na kumisi yo na o nyoso yo silikosa la kona mwana. Na ngolu na yo pe bolingo na yo nzambe o sangisa kibiso ilongo. Tutiki mwana yo na maboko na yo. Tuebi kotika mwana yo Eva na maboko na yo. Mokonzi yo lekana kubate la lekana kupesa ima yele. Pele kana kubate la bapara na ye. Paul et puis Lisette, tout ce qui est dans ma boucle, on a eu Martha, les sous-sous-zambes, ils ont continué à combattre la bango, qui nous ont mis en soi à Cocola, nous avons posé. To bo sanite lingomba oyo lisusu ya Felixto to tikango na maboko na yo nyoso bazosalela o mokonzi yo continue kozala na biso na kombo na o mokonzi to bondeli to beleli yo na kombo na Yesu to lobi amen
amen amen. In returning Eva into your care, I charge you to care for her in the name of the Lord and to keep the promises you have made concerning her. You will notice that Eva doesn't have godparents. Paul and Lisette have made a choice not to have godparents for their children. So in a sense, because we are here and because we are witnessing this service, we are all part of her godparent family. And often in the Salvation Army, when there is a dedication, we say, if you promise to pray for this child, raise your hand. If you promise to pray for Eva, please raise your hand. All these people are going to be praying for Eva. Now put down your hand. Can you picture another dedication that you were at that you promised to pray for a child? Could be last year, could be 30 years ago. Let's put up your hand and pray. Send up a quick prayer on behalf of someone else in similar situation that you've prayed for. Amen. God bless Eva. God bless her family. God bless the Felixstowe Corps of the Salvation Army. Please be seated.
To listen to the worship band now, who are going to lead us in a song. Looking forward to this. It's called The Greatest Day in History, in brackets, Happy Day. We'll listen with interest to the worship band. And as we listen, we'll also give to God in the offering. Thank you.
Please feel free to stand and to move and join in. Thank you.
Greatest day in history, death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive.
Together, oh happy day. We're going to read some verses from Scripture from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Yeah, verse 12 was the important verse for me, at any rate, this morning, as I was preparing for today. It said, to those who did receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. That leads us nicely into our next song. We're going to have a video that will help us with the singing of this. The song is called, Who You Say I Am. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. We'll stand to sing together.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place.
It's always good to belong. It's always good to know that you belong, that you're part of something. I'll never forget the testimony of a lady in one of our first corps, a few years back now. She often gave a testimony and told how, as a baby, she'd been adopted, and yet still a young child, had lost her adopted parents very early on in life. In spite of all that, she was still so grateful because she still had a family. She still belonged to God's family. She still belonged to that particular corps of the Salvation Army. That sense of belonging was so, so important for her. Now, this morning, I hope that you've enjoyed being part of Eva's dedication. We've seen already that she's very much part of her family. She's got a mum and dad and a big sister who love her and who've made important promises about how they intend to bring her up. And she's also got a wider family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, all of us gathered here because we wanted to support her. It's important to know that you belong. In the passage that we shared this morning from John, very familiar passage, John was keen to help us understand that we, whoever we are, we too can belong. We can belong to God's family. In verse 12, John said, "Yet to all who received him," that's Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, God gave the right to become children of God." We can all become children of God. We can all belong. We can all be part of his family. I want us to explore a little bit this morning, a little bit more about what that means, what that can mean for each one of us. I think before we start to answer that question, though, there's an objection that we need to get rid of. Because people often come up with this objection when it's a question of talking about being children of God. People who say, well, aren't we already children of God? Aren't we all God's children? What's the point of talking about becoming God's children? Pointless to talk about it. Because God created us. He created the world. He created everything in it and everyone in it. God is already our Father in that sense because he's our Creator. But you know, if we look more closely at this verse, we can see that John isn't talking about the whole of humanity. He's not talking about everyone. He's talking about those, that group, if you like, of people who've been given the right, who've been given the possibility of becoming God's children. So it seems that this possibility of having a relationship with God that goes much further and much deeper than that existing between created beings and God the Creator. In fact, John wants us to realize that it's possible for us to enjoy just that kind of intimate relationship with God. And that was what was so revolutionary about Jesus, wasn't it? That was what was so revolutionary about his relationship with God, the way that he spoke to him, the way that he called him Abba, Dad, Daddy. In fact, it's only through Jesus, it's only by following his example and by putting into practice his teaching and with his help that we can truly know God in that special, intimate way. The Apostle Paul puts it very simply in another of his letters, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So what that means is we're not automatically part of God's family just because we happen to have been born into this world. We become part of God's family through faith in Christ Jesus. So we've got rid of the objection. Let's try and begin to answer the question, how can we become God's children? Well, I think we need to be aware of, first of all, a very close parallel here between our physical and our spiritual lives. How do you become part of a family in the human sense? Well, the most usual way is to be born into a family, isn't it? Eva belongs to her family because she was born into it. She belongs because she was born into that family. And the same is true for someone who wants to belong to God's family. They have to be born into it. Or rather, they have to be born again. That's what John says. They have to be born a second time. They have to be born from above. Some commentators say that that's what John's really getting at here. Not being born again, but being born from above. Be born spiritually. And Jesus himself says as much, doesn't he? When he says in John chapter 3, verse 3, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Not easy for us to grasp what Jesus is getting at here. Not easy to understand what it means. Wasn't easy for Nicodemus either in the Bible passage. Yet this idea of being born again, is at the very heart of Christian life and Christian experience. We're fortunate because John gives us three negatives in our passage. Three negatives that will help us, I hope, to understand a little bit better what being born again, being born from above, really means. He talks about it not being of natural descent. So we're not talking here about natural birth. We can inherit naturally from our parents lots of things in this life. Money, property, aspects of our personality, our good looks. What are you laughing at? But the Christian faith is never inherited in the same automatic way. Parents who are Christians don't automatically have children who are also Christians. And in the same way, to be a Christian, well, there's no obligation to have had believing parents. It's not of natural descent. It's not of human decision either. That's what John says. In other words, you can't become a Christian simply by making up your mind to become one. Personal decision is important. That's why we have our mercy seat, isn't it? It's a place of decision. That's important. But being born again involves much more. It's not down to human effort. It's not down to a human decision. Nor, says John, is it of a husband's will, or a man's will, we might say. Way back when we used to sell Salvation Army papers in the pubs, we were often jokingly asked whether we could save someone. You know, a bloke would come up to you and he'd say, can you save me? Well, there are other variations on the jokes, but I won't tell you that one. And of course the answer was no. No human being, however skilled, however clever, however saintly, can save another human being. Being born again, becoming part of his family in the true sense, truly belonging to God's family, is only something that God can do. It's only when God gets to work in our lives. It's only when God shares with us his life that we truly start to live again, and that we really can say, I belong, we belong to God's family. So there's the how, or the how not to. It's down to God. But there are things we can do to make sure that that happens. Things we can do to help God, if you like, make us become part of his family. Once we've realized that it's not down to us, whether we belong or not, it's still important for us to know that God, on his side, is always ready to act, always ready to help us become part of his family. But only when we let him, of course. And here John gives us a couple of conditions, if you like. Conditions that are detailed in verse 12. We need to believe, first of all, says John, in the name of Jesus. Believe in his name. At the time John was writing, of course, names were extremely important. They weren't just labels that helped identify someone, but they also told us something about the person, about his family, or about his circumstances or place of birth. And the same used to be true, of course, in our culture. It's interesting to look at the name of Eva, the names of Eva. Eva, Elikia, Williams, each of those names has a significance, or had a significance. I mean, even Williams told us that way back there was someone who was called Williams, who was the son of William, whoever William was. But Eva and Elikia as well, they've got meaning. Eva, life. Irene prayed in her prayer, thanking God for the precious life that God had given us. Eva, the precious life. Elikia, hope in Lingala. We have hopes, don't we, for little Eva. We could say the same for Martha, better not leave Martha out. Martha as well. Martha, lady. And it's true, isn't it? Martha's a lovely lady. Matondo. Thankful. Grateful. We're grateful that God has given us this little girl. Names are important. But they were even more important in John's time, in Jesus' time. Not just a label, Jesus, but a word that tells us a lot about the man. It tells us a lot about what he came to do and what he can do. What did the angel say to Joseph? Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, he will save. So, it's by believing on his name, believing in this name, believing what his name says about him, that Jesus can save us and that Jesus can allow us entry into God's family. We need to believe in his name. And then John adds a second condition. We need to receive him. We need to receive him. Receiving, accepting him into our lives. That means responding positively to what he has to say. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Here I am. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus knocks on the door of our hearts, on the door of our lives, and we have a choice. Either we ignore it or we accept. Not just intellectually, I'm not talking about that, but we accept by really making him, Jesus, part of the way that we live our lives. And the moment when we fulfill these two conditions, when we believe on his name, when we believe that he can do this for us, and when we receive him, when we start to model our lives upon him, then at that moment, we really become his children. We are the children of God. We really start to belong. Yes, it's good to belong. It's good to be part of a family, like Eva belongs to her family. And you know, all of us, without exception, we all need to belong. We all have this need built in to us. We've seen again this morning how God, our Heavenly Father, wants us really to be part of his family, really to belong. And we've seen too how that can happen when we start to believe in Jesus and when we accept him into our lives. It's possible. We can be born again. We can be born from above simply by trusting Jesus and all that he says, and by receiving him more fully into the way that we live our lives. We're going to sing a very familiar song, one of the oldies. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. We're going to sing a couple of verses, perhaps. Maybe the three verses, I don't know. But we're going to give ourselves time just to be still, to reflect, and to think about what we've shared this morning, about the importance of belonging, about the possibility of belonging to God's family, being part of that family, and how it can be true for all of us as long as we put our trust in Him and as long as we accept Him into our lives. It's not automatic. It's not just because we've landed on this planet that we're God's children. We have to respond to the love that He's shown us through His Son, Jesus. Let's sing together a couple of verses of this song. And if anyone does need to make use of this place of decision, this place of prayer, of course it's there at any time to be used. Please make use of it as we sing. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His Son to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in His degradation, in His salvation. Pray together. Lord, we thank You that we're able to spend these moments in Your presence. We thank You for all of this time of worship that we shared. You have been present. You have reminded us of Your goodness and of Your fatherly love for each and every one of us. We thank You for the reminder too that we can be part of Your family. Help us to understand how that can be. Help us to see that the key is Your Son Jesus. Help us to believe in His name. Help us to accept Him, to receive Him, to build our lives upon Him, so that we can truly say, we are Your children. Bless us, we pray, as we conclude our worship together. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing song 34 as our closing song. Yes, and of course it's verse 2 that led me to choose this. To the family of Jesus, all God's children may belong. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the three verses straight the way through.
Thank you.
And finally, together, shall we pray the Lord's Prayer, the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.